The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine, Tuesday the 7th of March. How are you keeping? It's another day here on the 9 till noon show, and it's a cold day outside, isn't it? Heard Michaela talk about the weather warning being lifted at 10, but I think it's going to bed in here for the next couple of days. Footpaths are terrible already in certain parts of the county. Back roads also really difficult as well, so be careful, especially if you're in your back wheel drive. It's dangerous. Or if you're out walking as well, as I say, I noticed a few of the footpaths on the way to work not in good shape. Still don't grit them, probably never will, but anyway. If you want to keep us updated on anything that's happening out there, 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, 086 60 25000. You can give us a call too, of course, 07491 25000, and email us comments at highlandradio.com. If you're listening to the podcast or the overnight, where we replay the show from 1, I believe it is, I'm normally asleep at that time, and I certainly wouldn't be listening to myself anyway. But you can email us, by the way. You know, get your phone out. If maybe you're a night worker, you're on continental shifts, or maybe you just don't sleep well. Don't be afraid to email, and we pick them up the next morning. Or WhatsApp as well, 086 60 25000. Just because you're listening on podcast or overnight doesn't mean you can't be part of the program, of course. We are continuing our search for our finalist to go forward and represent this region in a huge national competition. Oisín Ní is in with us around about 10:30, performing live two tracks. One of them we'll be asking you to vote on to choose one of our four finalists as a winner overall to go forward and represent us. They've already won a great prize, and we'll go on to get great exposure and even further prizes. We had a fantastic performance yesterday, and I guarantee you the next three are as good. It's going to be a tough one. So stay tuned for that. Community Guard information's coming up for you after 10, the very first time you'll hear of the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Síochána before they start popping up elsewhere. Make sure you tune in for that live just after 10 o'clock. That and so much more besides. Any news breaking overnight, you want to get involved, you want to get your off your chest, as I say, contact us on that as well. And just whilst I remember, because it was towards the end of the last week, do you remember there was a lady on with us, her mother, I think she was in her 80s, early 80s, 81 if not mistaken, she had problems with her phone, do you remember? And it was off for a couple of weeks, and then they said to her, Vodafone it was, they said to her that it might be, that they'll get it sorted within 10 days. Well, it was sorted the next morning. I don't think I mentioned that the following day, but I know some of you were messaging in to see if she got sorted, but we got that sorted the next morning, the very next morning. And when I got off air, and fair play, a lady from Vodafone rang me and said she'd take control of the situation and sort it. And she did. Okay, so credit where it is due. Of course, we often highlight when companies, there are faults, and that was a fault in this case with Vodafone, but they took the complaint on board, took ownership and sorted it. So that's good news for that lady. I just wanted to update you on that, and to be fair to Vodafone as well. On to the newspapers this morning. The Derry Journal: almost 200 businesses and organisations have signed an open letter to the NI Department for Infrastructure in a united show of support for the long-delayed A5 Western Transport Corridor. The letter, coordinated by the Derry and Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce, has been signed by 184 organisations from across Derry, Donegal and Tyrone. It stresses the importance of the infrastructure project to the economic and societal prospects of the region. The A5 is a crucial infrastructural project for the Northwest. Once improved, will deliver stronger and better connectivity for our region. The letter reads, along with the improvements to the A6, the strengthening connectivity will mean bringing more investment, jobs and visitors to Derry, Londonderry, Donegal and the wider Northwest. And of course, they want to point out the safety positives there as well. On to the Irish Independent this morning. Gardaí are hoping CCTV footage from a nearby village will help them as they investigate the murder of Mayo farmer John Brogan. It emerged that the man arrested for the killing had been in a pub earlier in the day and had a row with a person well known to the victim. Mr. Brogan, who was 82, was found dead in his home at Pheasants Hill on the outskirts of Castlebar on Sunday evening after passers-by were alerted to a fire in the hallway. After emergency services put out the blaze, Mr. Brogan was found inside the property, having suffered apparent gunshot wounds. A man in his mid-60s was arrested in the vicinity and a weapon believed to be a shotgun was recovered. Gardaí now examining if the chief suspect had been at a pub in a nearby village earlier on Sunday and coincidentally encountered a person well known to Mr. Brogan. It's believed there had been a verbal row between the two and Gardaí have collected CCTV from businesses in the village to help establish the movement of the suspect in the time leading up to the murder. Gardaí are also aware of a previous outburst and accusations by the chief suspect directly to Mr. Brogan in the recent past. On to the Irish Times today. It'll be several weeks before technology to force drones from the skies around Dublin Airport is up and running, with its deployment dependent on delivery time from the manufacturers. Now, this is a problem that was in airports all across the world. I don't know why all of a sudden there's a peak in drone activity around Dublin Airport, but it's very disruptive. Lots of flights being diverted over the course of the various instances. Thousands of passengers being inconvenienced. The airlines, of course, very vocal in saying, look, this technology is there, sort this out. Government being accused of foot-dragging in this regard. Well, with the coalition under pressure from airlines after drones disrupted operations at the airport, Minister for Transport Eamon Ryan and Minister of State Jack Chambers will outline a plan to Cabinet for drone security at the airport and the wider issue of protecting critical infrastructure from interference. However, on Monday night, that's last night, DAA, which operates the airport, warned that it did not want long-term responsibility for intercepting drones in its airspace. Can't be beyond us, can it, in 2023. Irish Daily Mail, as all the papers are, confirming that the eviction ban is set to end. I'd be really curious as to what you, the listener, think of this, because we're hearing from government and the reasons why they're doing it. We're hearing from the opposition and why they think now is not the right time to do it, and this could be done or that could be done. But listen, let's hear from renters or landlords what your views are. You can WhatsApp or text them 208-660-25000, because coalition leaders have decided not to extend the ban on evictions, which is due to expire at the end of this month following late night talks. The shock decision came after the Attorney General, Rossa Fanning, last night warned senior members of the government that an extension of the ban would not survive a legal challenge. Maybe wait and see. Instead, the Cabinet will look to introduce further tenant protections and measures to encourage landlords to stay in the market. But details on how this will be achieved are yet to be finalised. We are at the peak of the housing market, you know, so maybe a lot of people who have, you know, second properties are looking to offload them now anyway. But anyway, Housing Minister Dara O'Brien met with the three coalition party leaders, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Tánaiste Micheál Martin and the Transport Eamon Ryan, Transport Minister, to finalise a memo for Cabinet, I presume it's going to be, yeah, this morning on the issue. Prior to the meeting, it was anticipated the ban would be extended with some adjustments. However, the former Attorney General, Paul Gallagher, had advised the government when introducing the initial ban that it could only be done on a time-bound basis and extending it beyond March would not work. Mr. Gallagher, who was replaced by the incumbent AG, Rossa Fanning, when Mr. Varadkar took over the role of Taoiseach in December, also advised that the ban was likely to face a legal challenge. It's just interesting that new leaders bring in new AGs, and some would say that this AG happens to agree with Leo Varadkar's angle on it. But anyway, it's a government-wide decision. All are responsible. Someone's worked out in the Irish Sun that ending smoking would free up nearly a million GP appointments a year in England alone. This is a charity, leading charity has claimed. Around 75,000 consultations a month would be saved, analysis by Cancer Research shows. The charity called on the UK government to invest more to services that help people quit, as cigs remain a big cause of cancer and death. And I wonder if any of you were listening to our chat with the HSC and their cessation team and decided to pack up the cigarettes at that time. Did you? And how's it going for you? If you don't mind sharing, if you don't want to, that's perfectly fine. But you know the number, 086 60 25000. Well, Chief Executive Michelle Mitchell said UK Chancellor Jeremy Hunt must be bold with tobacco control in his budget. So the UK figures in the paper today, but I presume we can scale them and see similar results here in Donegal. Not in Donegal, well, in Donegal, but also in Ireland as a whole. Right, on to the Mirror finally this morning. And just a wee bit more meat on the bone. Well, there's an elephant tossing over a car on page 14, if you're interested. It's a van. He's just walked up, tossed it over. But that's not what I'm talking about. But if you want to see an elephant toss over a lorry, page 14, or just Google it. But anyway, motorists could be charged more than €100 for a trip to Dublin or into Dublin town for the day under proposals to reduce urban congestion. Now, maybe some of you love Dublin, are in and out of it all the time, or maybe you have to. But as I said in the show yesterday, I don't like how busy it is anyway. And it's not even that big a city. But £100 to go in a trip into Dublin town. Are you having a laugh? What, and pay €12 for a drink, or €20 for a sandwich and a cup of tea? But experts say emissions could be driven down substantially if government discouraged motorists from going into our urban centres. But the sense of urgency to tackle the problem is dividing the cabinet, with ministers from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael less eager than the Greens to act in the short term. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar told reporters in Waterford yesterday the congestion charge is not something the government is considering introducing immediately. He added, it's about moving towards urban compact growth. It's not about banning cars or crucifying motorists, he said. Congestion charges aren't on the agenda at the moment for Irish cities, but it's something I think you could see happening and making sense in Dublin in the future. Okay, well, sure, we shall see. And I don't think regional towns, especially the likes of Letterkenny with city status aspiration, would be exempt from that. So if I was a business in and around Letterkenny, I'd be thinking, you know, where am I going to be in 5 years in terms of vehicle access? I presume they mean ICE cars, internal combustion engine cars. What do they? You'd get a break for an electric car. Good morning, Marie, Paul, Annie, and John, who are saying hello to us, commenting on our Facebook. Just to remind you, you can watch the show, including our Community Guard information, our live performance for Offshoot Knee, and everything else as well. Brendan Devaney is going to be joining us after the break. He's back on the show on a different topic to sport yesterday. He's just been out and about at the weekend and noticed some anomalies that are, that on the face of it, don't seem to make sense. Hop on to Facebook on your phone, tablet, smart TV, or your Fire Stick. You can go on YouTube too. I prefer YouTube because you can rewind on YouTube or pause it, and you don't lose where you're at. And also too, and just to remind you that there's captions on it, okay? That's really the reason why I started doing it. There's captions there. So people who are hard of hearing can keep up to date. They're not perfect, but they're not bad. They pick up most of what I'm rattling about. You might recall there's just something about them didn't make sense to me. The huge drop-off in women going for a cervical check. And we had cervical check on to us with figures and some sort of background as to what may have led to that huge drop-off. And it's not as problematic as it seemed on the face of it. So stay tuned. We'll update that a little later on. Update you with that a little later on. A caller says the law states that learner drivers need to be accompanied by a fully qualified driver at all times. Yesterday, I witnessed 6L drivers driving alone in Letterkenny. I knew to look at the age of them. These drivers were, in fact, the learner drivers. If one of them hit me, where would I be with the damage done to my car? Why are insurance companies insuring these young people, knowing full well they will drive alone as soon as they get the insurance disc? Well, they are still, if they have insurance, they're still insured, as far as I'm aware. They're still insured in the event that they were in collision with you. That being said, and I know you recognise that because of their age, they probably are L drivers, but you know, there could be a few young ones in the house, and maybe they are, although I suppose you'd expect to see an N plate there as well, wouldn't you, if they recently qualified? But look, I trust your instincts on that one. How big of a problem is it? I know it's tough to get a test. Hi, Greg, is there a delay in breast check too? I'm now 52 and I've heard nothing, thank you. Well, listen, it's very important we check that out and leave it with me. Another, hi, Greg, can you also ask Betty about the breast check? Heard that people that should have been checked in COVID times are being sidetracked and they are doing people now. Caroline might mention that to Betty before we bring her on to see if she's got any updates on breast check services in Donegal, and we can cover both issues. Yes. Okay. Right. Brendan Devaney is joining us now. I think Brendan, you there? Are you? Good morning to you.
Yes, Greg. How are you?
Good to have you with us. Listen, thanks for rejoining us because this is completely unsport related, this one. You were out and about, were you, with the family on the weekend, and what did you come across?
Yeah, I do have a life outside of sport. I do an odd thing there, Greg, yeah, as well. But
do you enjoy it? Yeah. Go on. Of course you do.
Go to games. No, do you know what, Greg? Just yesterday there was, or Sunday, we were in the house, and I suppose the kids were running about. We were watching a bit of Shrek. It was a bit of medieval stuff going down. So I says, we're going to Newton to visit the wee boy's granny. So I said, listen, I'll take you to a special wee place, a fort. So they hopped into the car. They had the wee swords and that with them, which was a bit of a mistake because they ended up battering the life of each other on the way down the road. We had to take the swords off them. But we get to, of course, Green and Avalia. Greg, was a nice, fresh day, beautiful place to visit. And as ever, with this place, Greg, the barrier is down. Now, I think over the past year, I would say I've tried to visit Green and Avalia maybe 6 or 7 times randomly, and the barrier's been down every single time I've got there. Now, the view up there, Greg, as we know, you know, I've been to places all over the world. I can't say there's a better view there. You know, the Foyle, the Swilly, Inch Island, Tyrone, Derry, Donegal, all in the background. And along with that, it's got the history of the place, the fort, one of the oldest fort, if not the oldest fort in Ireland of its kind. So I looked at the thing on the barrier. I think it was open for maybe 3 hours that day. Now, this was 4 o'clock. So I've heard of stuff people messing about in the car park and that, Greg, but I can't understand how we can't sort that out, maybe by, say, blocking off bits of the car park or putting the barrier near where the car park is. So if it was a case where we could figure out a way of doing it, but I don't understand. Surely that happens in the evening or at night and that, Greg. And as we left there, Greg, funny enough, another small thing, we came down the hill back to the main road, and in the foreground was Burt Castle. And again, another amazing place. And my wee boys, honest to God, Greg, they said, can we go there? And I was like, there's no road there. We can't go there. And I thought, there's two unbelievable monuments in our place with unreal views. And we can't technically visit either of them, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you're a family man, taking the family out, bringing them from what they were enjoying the television into the real world. But as well as that, the tourist season is getting longer and longer, and it's not as long as people want it to be. I mean, I think there's quite a few tourists about at the moment. You're seeing them here and there. Everywhere seems kind of busy. If I was a tourism provider, I'd also be pulling my hair out at this one. On a Sunday afternoon, it's bright, what, till 6 o'clock? And it's open from 12:30 in the afternoon till 3 p.m. or 12 to 3 p.m. I mean, we're shooting ourselves in the foot here. As I say, not just for locals, but for day trippers.
Yeah, unbelievable, Greg. Listen, if you look at it, I remember the old Bord Falchair ads years ago, and Green and Avalia used to be in a nationwide ad selling Ireland to the world. If you look at pictures and images that really, you know, social media sells this country, how could you get a more beautiful picture than being on top of Green and Avalia and added to the history of the place? And we went down travelling there last year, different monuments down through Ireland, Oduda Castle. On the way out there in the scrolling there, went right down the Spanish Point, went out to Scattery Island, because I named my wee lad Senan. That's where St. Senan's Monastery is at. And we were just on a wee bit of a tour, and there seemed to be so much tourism, places set up at different places in Ireland, Greg, which, you know, there's tours and there was shops, and there seemed to be so much more things about. And here we are with this amazing thing, and it's open for a couple of hours a day. And as you said, I mean, a tourist could be randomly going to visit Greenland at any time. I mean, the fact that barrier's down, and I know people say, you could walk up. It's a monster of a hill, my two-year-old. That would have been too much work for me, Greg, but I just think that...
Yeah, but in this day and age, we need to be inclusive as well. So we couldn't have... there's no point having a situation where you, in good health, with your young family, could go up, but someone who can't, it doesn't make any sense. And I don't know if it's a thing about... Like, we're told how important tourism is to our economy. Let's just stick with that point for a minute. But it seems any time things are a little bit complicated, like, say, public toilets, for example. We don't have public toilets in certain places, and you kind of get the feeling the argument is, well, we can't maintain them, or who's going to maintain them, or they're going to get dirty, so you don't put them there. We don't open up certain places like Green and Avalia because, well, maybe there could be some antisocial behaviour or whatever. listen, let's hire people. If it's that important to us, let's hire people that go around these places. Let's put up CCTV. If there's any antisocial behaviour, let it be flagged on the CCTV for the Gardaí. Do you know, we can't always choose the passive path of least resistance. We have to come up with modern solutions to make sure that this thing that's so important is easily accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever the issue is, there's a way around it, because we have monuments and we have tourist places all over the country that we're not shutting down for nearly the whole day. And as you said, this thing about selling their country and selling, I suppose, this a draw. So we have to protect it. So whatever it is, Greg, there must be a way around it to get us back up there. As I say, Greg, that's, I would say it's a year now. I've randomly stopped at different times. And I think the times have changed, you know, as the year goes on. And I rang a number on the board. I got another number for a place in Leitrim that handles all these things. I just went through the answer machine. There was no space left in the box. Maybe there was other people ringing as well, but that's as far as I got. I did ask Paul Cannon down there to look into it as well, because even for people in the local area, Greg, it's such a nice place to take your kids, and obviously they're restricted.
What happens is you grow up there, right, if you have access to it. This is how it works. You grow up there, you get your phone out, right, you take a picture, you have a decent following on social media, you post it on Twitter, people all around the country see it, they go, wow, that's beautiful, I never even knew that existed. They come up to visit it. That's how it works. But you go there, the gate's down, you're a peed-off local, you drive off, the kids are disappointed. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
If you're on about toilets and security, say, so those people that are coming to visit are spending X amount while they're here. So that means that the government really have to say, right, there's X amount of tourism coming to Donegal. There's something in place to pay for these things. A bit like the ranger that's up there. I'm not too sure what her job is, Greg, in Greening. But, you know, if she needs help with security, then that has to be something that's sorted and looked at.
What happens down the country? You've talked about being in different places, and then our listeners can get involved in this, of course, as well. I mean, like, say, the likes of Kerry. Is that comparable here? I mean, if I drive down there, a place is going to be shut in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday? I don't know. It doesn't feel like that would be the case.
No. And, Greg, just with us in Donegal here, and I'm not going to bang the drum about being cut off and where we're at and all that geographically, but you do get a sense down the country there's a much more tourism drive. You know, you see the coaches and the buses and the tours and all that. So if we're lagging behind, the last thing we need to do is have one of our most amazing places in the county shut off for nearly the whole day. I mean, something has to be sorted to get that opened up properly.
Yeah, caller says, I agree. We went along to it and it was closed, but you still have walking access to it. Surely Brendan should be encouraging fitness. Look, but what we're saying is, you know, that's all well and good, but if you've got a young family, or you've got a baby, or if you've got if you're with someone who is using a walking aid or is in a wheelchair, I know exactly what you're saying, and it's great if you're on your own, you're fit and you can run up there, but that's not providing a tourism product.
Yeah. Well, listen, my wee boy's only 2.5, Greg.
But well, I wouldn't be lugging him up there.
That extra bit of weight, he would make it about 50 steps up there, and it'll be on the shoulder. The other wee boy's 4, and the other lad's 12. So listen, I actually, it's Lucas, the bigger boy. I end up carrying Trasa. The creditor has to carry the younger boy. So yeah, I mean, good luck with that.
He's a big lad. I'd send him back to the car and head on myself. Right. Okay. No, listen. It's funny we're having this conversation in March. Normally we have it in April, May, June, July, August, September, about tourism, access to our facilities for people when they are there. And I think it's a constructive conversation we're having, Brendan. This is like, you know, as I say, beautiful, fresh spring. Everyone's mad to get out. You can see it on the streets. You can see attendance of football games. People want to be out doing stuff. And yet we have these beautiful things like our natural amenities, our history, and they're not accessible in the middle of the day on a lovely Sunday afternoon. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and Greg, just a word on Birdcastle as well and the history that's around that. I mean, of course, as a wee lad, we used to cycle up to Greening and Bird. Now, Birdcastle, obviously, it's you couldn't access it. It's dangerous, but there's no actual access to it unless you go through a couple of farmers' fields. But I was thinking to myself, surely we could procure a road up, and yet there's only 2 fields there. And if you had to cordon it off, but I just think between the two places, but the fact that you can view both, you know, if you're thinking about a tourist here, if you went to Greenan and you knew there was a road up to Burt, you would go and see the history and see the two places. I don't know why we haven't at this stage been able to get access to that castle as well. And then there's a beautiful view from the far side of that too as well. So that's just another small point, I suppose.
No, it's all good. Listen, Brent, thanks very much for that. Appreciate you raising the issue. Lots of people in agreements with you. Have a lovely day. Take care. Right, okay. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. A caller says it's the same in the summer. Public toilets are only open at certain times of the year. Tourism is not only about foreign tourists. Locals visiting these places are far more important than any marketing campaign. As their word will spread the word better. Yeah, indeed, I agree with the sentiments there. I have visitors staying with me from Savile last week. They were excited to visit on Greenon and were sadly disappointed that they couldn't get access. I agree. It's time these places were open all year round. Another, it's a beautiful place, but sadly, compo culture has taken over this country, hence the need to keep cars off it after certain hours. Well, it's not the same in other parts of the country. You know, it's they've figured out ways elsewhere, haven't they? Surely we should be able to do so too. Talking about electricity prices, we were chatting yesterday about it. A caller says, electricity bill standing charge January 21st, standing charge per day, 04182, January 22nd, it's 04040. Now, I am not sure how that breaks down in cents, but that's per day. January 23, it's 07614, that's the standing charge. So is that 76.14 cent, I wonder? Then you have VAT on top of that. Let's hope that when the prices come down, the standing charges also come down. Another caller says, good morning, Greg. We have a group of people who are adamant boys can be girls and vice versa. They're dangerous people, weak men and women. Let kids be kids. They say there's 100 genders now, but yet go for gender-affirming surgery. You have but two choices. But there are different views in relation to that. And I think you're talking and referencing that letter that was sent out from the group representing Catholic churches, or at least one of them, that said they didn't want children to be taught about transgenderism. Leo Varadkar yesterday said, and maybe this is the middle ground, he said, look, school's about preparing children for the world. There are trans people in the world. You don't have to say it's right or it's wrong or try and influence them in any shape or form, but you can educate them that this is actually what is out there in the real world. Maybe that is the maybe that's the middle ground there. Hi, Greg. The Greens will soon make it going for a drive illegal. They want to control everything we do. God help us. We will obey like sheep. The only thing, and I said this to people off the radio as well, if anyone thinks that after the next election that the Greens aren't in power, that all of a sudden diesel cars and petrol cars, the VAT will come down, the taxes will be reduced, there'll be no 2030 targets. There's only one way this is going, and whether the Greens are in power or not, that's the way it's going. And there's no, as far as I'm aware, there's no major alternative party suggesting otherwise. It's an agenda, and it's an agenda the country has signed up to. Yes, the Greens have their fingerprints on it, and they're trying to move things quicker. But I don't believe, and I'm open to correction, that there's any party that's saying, right, okay, we're going to lift coal bans, we're going to allow you to burn the old-fashioned smoky coal, we're going to lift turf-cutting bans, we're going to reduce carbon taxes on home heat and all petrol and diesel. No one's suggesting that. This is only going one way. There is no, as far as I can see, and I'm open to correction, there's no alternative to what's going on at the moment. Okay. Let us now say hello to Kilger. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, Kilger. What's your experience?
Well, it's dealing with expressways. For the first time in my life, I decided I've had to go to Galway down to the rapid access prostate clinic a few times. And it was down in January, and I travelled in my car, and it takes it out of me, to be quite honest with you. You have to stay the night, blah, blah, blah. So I got another appointment, and I have to go down on Saturday, actually. It was down for an MRI scan. So I thought I'll take the bus you know, let them take the strain and no hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough. Book the tickets, no hassle and that. But what I discovered was I had to get somebody to give me a lift because there's nowhere to park your car. Like, I have to travel from Muncrana, which is 42 kilometres, you know. There's nowhere to park your car.
This is from Letterkenny, you know, Kilgore, is it? Pardon my ignorance.
It's from Letterkenny to Galway, yeah. So there was nowhere to park the car, so my wife had to take me up. That was the first thing. I thought, oh, God, you know, in most places now they have this park and ride where you can park your car free to get you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. They don't have it in Letterkenny, or they don't, Bus Éireann don't seem to do it. So I got the bus. It was grand. I have to say, there was no problem. The journey was good. But here's the problem. Toilet stops. We had one stop. Now, the journey is nearly 5 hours. It's about 4 3/4 hours. We had one stop in Sligo for 10 minutes. And there are toilets in the station there. Every other stop is like a bus stop, basically. There's nowhere that you can go to the bathroom. And I thought, my God, like, for people travelling from Donegal, young or old, I mean, just, you know, can't holding on to Sligo just seems that, you know, like, I mean, you might have to go after Sligo and you've nowhere to go.
There's no toilets on toilets on the bus.
There's no toilet on the bus, in other words. I thought that this was one of the things. And when you're talking about transport and the Greens, it was one of the things that they were supposed to be doing, but there's no toilet on the bus.
What do you do in that situation, like, Kilgore? Not you personally, like, us put ourselves in someone's position. Because, you know, I think we all know people that would not be able to be without going to the bathroom for 3 hours. Like, you know, I think everyone would know someone. Well, like, what do you do? Say you didn't need to go in Sligo and on you go. As a fully grown adult sitting there thinking, what's going to happen here? Am I going to go to the bathroom in this bus sitting down in this chair? Like, it must be incredibly horrible.
I actually heard on the way back, now, in fairness, it wasn't too far to go, and it was a younger person, like a lot younger than me, and it was in Ballybuffet. We had stopped again at a stop, and this guy shouted, "Driver, is there any chance of me getting out here to go into, I think it was Apache Pizza, and use the toilet?" He says, you won't get in there. He says, "I have to hang on. I'll only be 10 minutes. Like, the driver now, in fairness, was nice. He said, I'll be as quick as I can, 10 minutes, and you'll get to Kenny. I just think, particularly for people in Donegal, because we have so far to go to most of the major places, you know, like, and to hold on for such a long time, I think it should be, when expressways and when they're trying to get this travel up, think about things. It's not, you know, it's not too hard.
Yeah, because I know there are some buses with toilets. Now, I've spoken to people who use buses regularly, and through COVID, you had no access to the toilets, right? And then post-COVID, there was still no access to the toilets. But then, as I say, I don't know the bus network well enough to know, when there's people listening and that would know more than you and I, Kilgore, because you haven't really used them much. Like, are there toilets on some of these buses, and can you access them now? Because I would not fancy, it's like getting on a plane. It's like getting on a plane to Dublin Airport, going to Lanzarote, knowing you couldn't go for a pee. It's the exact same, pretty much. The timing is about the same.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I was thinking. At least on the plane, you can get
you get up
the
and
toilet.
Have a wee, yeah.
There was no toilet in either of these buses. Like, on the way down, there was no, like, definitely not, and there was none on the way up. You know, and I'm just going to throw in another thing that I saw, because driving a car, you don't notice these things, unfortunately, you know. But on that bus, I noticed the amount of homes in every town and village that are not being used. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're crying out for space. And you go, if you sit on the bus, that's what I'm saying, get the minister to sit in the bus and go down just this way.
Yeah, I know you're on. There's like ghost towns, isn't there? You can see where the old petrol station used to be and the old pub used to be. And then there's, like, you know, what seems like. But maybe people don't want to live there in some of these places, Kilgore. And there's a few towns in Donegal going that way. But are you on about populated
towns?
I'm talking
about even in on the main street in towns, it's unbelievable. And I mean, people, it's probably refugees I'd be more thinking of. I mean, they might not want to live, but I mean, we don't have much of a choice at the minute, the way things are going.
Certain,
whether people have a choice or not.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, but then honestly, the amount of towns, forget about outside the towns, I'm talking about the amount of towns, good-sized towns, that have accommodation. And I know, like, loads of my friends who were brought up on the main street of Bunkrana. You know, it's not... I was brought up above a pub. I mean, oh, it's not that bad. I think, too,
there are some of these... there's nothing wrong with urban living, but I think there's some of these towns and villages that you talk of, and I think I have a fair idea of some of them that you're on about, that actually would benefit greatly by a boost in the population as well for their future, because I think some of them are dying on their feet. Like.
Life. I think it would get life into towns, and, I mean, you would really need to have a national plan to do this.
Mm.
You know, I can't see... The way people are, the way we are, myself.
Like,
you know,
the only problem is, Kilgore, I can think of like three national plans. But like, just talk about this eviction ban that's happening, right? This eviction ban was brought in to avoid people being put out into the streets, and quite rightly so. But it gave us 6 months, 9 months, we could even extend it out to a year and a half to come up with an alternative. But we have no alternative. You know, there are plans there in terms of getting, you know, houses back into use and all that, but there's no progress. It's all talk. Like, I've done a lot of interviews over the years about new schemes to go in and in urban areas, take over derelict properties, do them up for a comp. It's all talk. There were schemes whereby if you had an old house, like this dereliction grant, you know, is anyone really, really applying to that? And if not, why not? Do you know, like, we're not doing anything. We had some space with the eviction ban, and in the here we are still in the exact same position. The housing crisis has gotten worse, and now we're going to be throwing people out into the streets from April.
Yeah,
it's
they go down the road. They say we'll do this, we'll do that. It takes a year to decide what they're going to do. It takes, and then nothing happens. Somebody has to take the bull by the horns and do it. I mean, that can be done. It's not going to be done overnight, but it can be done. You know,
if you really start pumping money into building houses, if they really started properly funding the rebuilding of defected concrete block houses, right? Look at the amount of VAT and tax they would take in. Look at the amount of employment they would generate. Look at the big lift there would be for, you know, the construction industry as a whole. If it was done correctly, it's win-win. You get people into homes. You get people into new homes that are the old ones are falling around them because of defective concrete. And you know, as I say, we're exactly. I said this in the program before, Kilgore. We're tiny. Like, was. In the 26 counties, because we can only at this point talk about the Republic in terms of plans, but there's 5.5 million people in what we're told is a relatively decent economy. Gross. We shouldn't really have any problems, should we, Kilgore? We should be. This is we're
no,
the size of Manchester.
No,
we should have all of this should be sorted. Like,
there should be no problem. I mean, it is a fact. If it would cost money, but what goes around comes around. You could spend money, and it, as you say, it goes filters back into the economy. Should it be a painter, decorator? Should it be the builder? It filters the whole way through. The money comes back to the government. Comes back to us because it's our money. We keep saying the government. It's our money.
Exactly. And the only the majority of people I know that are doing well spend money. They've borrowed to invest, or, you know, they've taken risks or whatever. You know, and then there's people like me with nothing because I'm too timid to do anything. I don't, you know what I mean? And I'm Ireland at the moment, right? Because I'm sitting there afraid to do anything. And yet there's people around me who roll the dice, who take chances and accumulate wealth. We should be doing that as a nation.
I think the government could, like, I mean, they sold off, you know, to these funds, they sold off profitable things. It's like, to me, it would be like when the water thing, when they were talking about privatizing it. Why do you privatize something like that? Mm. It's unnecessary. That's number one. Electricity, it's unnecessary.
Well,
it's
actually,
money.
The electricity will, you see, if they privatize that, it'll save us money because there'll be more competition in the market and the consumer will be better off. How are you finding that? How's that going for you?
I look at England and I see what happened in England with the private. There were certain things that I think need to be privatised and certain things that don't. And I think electric, because it's power and more ways than one. You're holding power. You have the power. You don't privatise it. And they invest the money. Like, I agree that the Electric Ireland, you're talking about prices should come down, but the good thing about it, at least the money that's been made is going back in to upgrading the service.
Yeah, but right. Well, I suppose, look, the government's got a huge stake in the ESB and it makes no difference anyway. I don't know. Sometimes I just can't get my head around it, but everything is set up yeah. that a small group of people profit in a crisis, right? And yeah, the situation for average Joes, us effectively, never improves. It's always a constant struggle. Right, Kilgour, we'll see what people think on your general views, but on the buses as well, I think that's a valid one. I hope everything's going well for you in terms of health and stuff, Kilgour, and thank you so much for chatting to us. And a lovely name, by the way. Where's that from?
Well, my mum, I have five other brothers, and they're all normal names, and I think I'm the youngest, and I think Mammy ran into them.
She ran out of names.
She ran out of names, so I'm the guy.
Well, listen, she's not as bad as me, because my middle son, I opened up the name book, and the first name is Aaron, two A's, and I says, that'll do. Yeah. I never got past the first name in the name book. I like Kilgour anyway, because no one will forget your name.
Well, I have a son now. I decided, well, he and I was called, he's going to be called it too. So
you stuck him with Kilgour as well, did you?
I said it.
Good man.
Well, the great thing, I never could call names at school because people thought, well, he's Kilgour, let him go.
Yeah. Has the poor lad not been through enough? Is that what? All right, Kilgour. Either way, I think it's a lovely name. Thanks so much for joining us and chatting. Lovely
Thanks
to speak to you. All right, take
you.
Care. Bye bye. That is Kilgour there. Now, yesterday we were speaking about what was a drop in cervical cancer screenings. The number of people screened for cervical cancer in Donegal last year is down 22%. When compared to the previous year figures from the National Screening Service they've revealed. Now, as I said yesterday, and Betty Holmes rejoins us now. As I said yesterday in the programme, Betty, yes. I wanted to see previous year's figures to see what the trend was. Do you know whether it was a carryover or what the crack was? But anyway, we've got further figures. And what's your reading of them, Betty? And a very good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Greg. And I'm delighted that Cervical Check actually did respond. And I have to say, they apologise for the delay in the respond to the email on Thursday. And I have to say, it's really, really good news, according to Cervical Check. Cervical Check said that 2021 was a bumper year for cervical screening uptake, when women who were unable to come for screening due to COVID measures were able to access Cervical Check. And that meant that there was a 14% more women attended for screening in 2021 than predicted. And that they then expected the numbers would level out in 2022. They have said that there's no difficulty with sending out, no delays in sending out the appointments for women. They're all been sent out timely. It's all really, really good news, Greg. And what, you know, to say that there was a 14% increase in 2021 is amazing.
So
you know?
it was women that didn't get checked during COVID being caught up on really effectively, which means they did
Absolutely.
Turn up, which is good. That means hopefully then we didn't lose many checks, although they would have been later because of COVID.
Yeah, they said that people who should have had theirs during COVID, they caught up, and it was all, when I talked to Fiona Ness, it was all really, really good news, all positive news. And even they said that nationwide, you know, that they're up to date with their invites since December 2021, and they've remained up to date throughout 2022, you know. And they also said that they were issuing results within 4 weeks in over 95% of the cases, which is excellent news as well, Greg. This is really, really good news. And, you know, I have to say that when we did see the figure of 9,444 for 2021, and then the drop down to 7,331. You know, I did say that maybe when that figure was queried, you know, from the local media or the press, that maybe the information should have been submitted with that again. But this is excellent news, and fair play to Cervical Check yesterday coming back with the updated information. phoning, you know, discussing the whole thing, and then I actually asked them to send it in an email so that we can actually forward it to all the local press as well, so that any woman who is worried, that can be reassured. But the other thing that was stressed yesterday was that they're very keen to get the word out to women who may have stopped coming for whatever reason for their cervical check screening. And they would say, please encourage those women to come back and have their cervical check screening. Or if there's women who have never had a test and are in the relevant age group, and that's, I'm doing this from memory, Greg, is it 25 to 65? That they would actually go online and get registered. Now, also, we talked the thing about, if you hadn't got your letter, could you go? They're saying if you know the time that you had your last cervical screening and you're aware that it's that time, you can ring up your GP and make an appointment because you're on the register. So this is really, really good news, Greg. You know, and again, like yesterday, we're saying any woman that is both cervical check and registered and you feel that you're due your follow-up screening, go make an appointment and get checked. This is a very, very important service. This is vital. If you're not registered, make sure that you get yourself registered and go for your check. Another good thing that we discovered yesterday, Greg, was you had made reference to the number of people who had come in to the county, and we talked about that. And Fiona was able to update us that there's video information available in 22 languages for women who English isn't their first language. And, you know, those ladies can find out more about screening. And that's all available on the HSE website, you know, with cervical screening. So it's all excellent. It's all really, really good news. But we would encourage anybody that who has stopped going for their cervical screening, please, 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 make an appointment, go and have yourself checked. If you have never had screening, please get registered on cervical check and start and go on those appointments. But the figures, Greg, that explains the fact that it was a bumper year and there was a 14% increase would explain what we felt was a considerable drop of 2,113. There's no drop. The figure of 7,331 for 2022 is a real figure, and that's excellent news, Greg. And I'm delighted to be able to update people on that. And I'm sorry if we scared people yesterday.
No, I think we were measured yesterday. We were measured yesterday. I knew that we had to look at previous figures, Betty, to get a sense of a trend, because as it didn't make any sense to me. Actually, another one we spoke yesterday when you were on, a caller was charged 50 euro. Well, following on from our chat yesterday and paying for the smear test, she went into the surgery and got her 50 euro back.
Yes.
Okay, well, so that's a positive.
I queried that one yesterday as well, and we were able to, I was going to actually just tell you to tell that lady she's entitled to her 50 euro back.
And she got it back.
Which is excellent.
Okay, brilliant stuff.
Brilliant stuff. But again, women, it's very, very important that you go and have your cervical check, your smear. That is vital. And as I said yesterday, the life you save could be your own. And if you've stopped going for whatever reason, make sure you get back up there and get yourself screened. If you've never, ever went, get on the cervical check website, register yourself and get for your cervical screening. And again, cervical check, we're very clear that they were very grateful to the GPs and healthcare professionals in Donegal who were providing very timely appointments to the women, you know.
Yep. And you know what, too, if nothing else, we have had 2 days of talking about this, Betty, and opportunities to remind women to go and get checked. So, I think it's been a worthwhile exercise because it's given us a chance to talk and encourage people. Betty, listen, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, everybody, and sincere thanks to Cervical Check for getting back. And
yeah, for sure.
Please go and get it. And Greg, thank you to you and the whole team at Highland, because I'm aware that they sent you the response as well. Thanks.
Take care, Betty. All right, thanks so much indeed. That's Betty Holmes there. 086 60 25 000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25 000. Back with Community Guard information, Oisin Ní performing live, that and so much more besides. Stay right where you are.